Exodus chapter 4. Again, it's a privilege to be in the house of the Lord with you this evening, and thank God for all the good rain He's given us. Amen. I thought it used to say April showers bring May flowers. We got February showers. I don't know what that brings. Thunderstorms. Amen. But I'm glad the Lord's in control. One of the kids, before we left the house this evening, said, "Why is it raining so hard?" And my wife quickly said, "Because that's what the Lord wants it to do." Amen. So that's a good spiritual answer to cover everything. Amen. Because the Lord wants it to. But that's true. I'm glad He's in control. If it was up to us, we'd have it about 70 degrees sunshine all the time. It'd dry up. Everything would probably die. We'd never have cold weather to kill off some of these bugs and diseases. I saw on the news this morning where they said the polar vortex killed the stink bugs. Amen. I don't know whether that's true or not. I don't think so. I've seen a few around, but I wanted to send that to some of the global warming nuts. Amen. All right, Exodus chapter 4. We better get in the scripture before I get in trouble tonight. Amen. Exodus 4. Let's stand together if you're able tonight and begin a reading in verse 1, and let's read down through verse 9. I want to bring to you a thought the Lord's given us for this evening. Exodus chapter 4, verse 1. "And Moses answered and said, But behold, they will not believe me, nor hearken unto my voice, for they will say, The Lord hath not appeared unto thee. And the Lord said unto him, What is in thine hand? And he said, A rod. And he said, Cast it on the ground. And he cast it on the ground, and it became a serpent. And Moses fled from before it. And the Lord said unto Moses, Put forth thine hand, and take it by the tail. And he put forth his hand, and caught it, and it became a rod in his hand. That they may believe that the Lord God of their fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob, hath appeared unto thee. And the Lord said furthermore unto him, Put now thine hand into thy bosom. And he put his hand into his bosom. And when he had took it out, behold, his hand was leprous as snow. And he said, Put thine hand into thy bosom again. And he put his hand into his bosom again and plucked it out of his bosom. And behold, it was turned again as his other flesh. And it shall come to pass, if they will not believe thee, neither hearken to the voice of the first sign, that they will believe the voice of the latter sign. And it shall come to pass, if they will not believe also these two signs, neither hearken unto thy voice, that thou shalt take of the water of the river and pour it upon the dry land, and the water which thou takest out of the river shall become blood upon the dry land." Let's go to the Lord in prayer tonight. Father, we bow before you this evening, thanking you so much, Lord, for the opportunity to be here. Thank you for the songs and the choir singing, Lord, that's directed our heart tonight to worship you. And Lord, they've done exactly what singing should do. Lord, it's taken our mind off the world and put our mind on you and your word. And now I ask you tonight, Lord, that you would help us to bring the truth that you placed on our hearts tonight. And I pray you bless this Wednesday night crowd. Lord, I realize this is the backbone of the church. I realize these are the faithful here tonight. I appreciate them braving the weather and everything to get out here this evening. I pray, Lord, you'd meet with us and give each one a safe trip home. And we'll thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You can be seated. Now, I want to draw your attention tonight to verse number 2 in our text. What's happening here, beginning in chapter 3, Moses now is in the midst of the call that God has for his life. Somebody said one time Moses spent the first 40 years realizing that he was, or thinking he was something, and then the next 40 years realizing he was nothing, and then the latter 40 years actually getting something done for God. And that's about the truth when you analyze the life of Moses. A lot of preparation to get him to the place to where God could really use him. But I want to notice verse 2 tonight as the Lord is dealing with Moses about the call in his life, which is the call to go to Pharaoh, to Egypt, and deliver God's people. And that is the primary highlight, if you would, in the life of Moses. Several things that he did, but I believe his purpose was that he would be the deliverer of the nation of Israel. He's also the lawgiver and many different things that Moses did. But there's a question here in verse 2 that I want to focus on tonight. I love questions in the Bible that God asks, because when you look at those questions, you know in the back of your mind that God knows the answer to every question. There's never been a question that God had to ask because he didn't know the answer. But he asks those questions so that the one he is questioning will realize some things in their life. And it's all throughout the scripture. I wish somebody would sit down sometime and go through the scripture and find all the places where God asked a question to a human being and then write a book on it. Amen? Be an interesting book to read. God did that with Adam in the garden when Adam and Eve hid because of their sin. And God said, Adam, where art thou? God knew exactly where Adam was at. But he wanted Adam to confess where he was. And kind of the same situation's going on here tonight in verse number 2 with Moses. Now, as the Lord met with him here in the beginning of chapter 3 through the burning bush, and Moses said, I'll now turn aside and see this thing that the Lord has done. And God begins to fill him in on what he's going to do with his life. And the Lord calls Moses to go to Egypt and deliver the nation of Israel from the hand of Pharaoh. And as he's talking to him, beginning in chapter 4, verse 1, Moses now does just like you and I do. And Moses begins to try to wiggle out from under what God wants him to do. And in verse number 1, he says some things. But in verse 2, I want to draw your attention here, and then we'll look at all these verses tonight. The Lord said unto him, what is in thine hand? The Lord asked Moses a question. Again, not because that God didn't know what was in the hand of Moses, but God wanted Moses to realize what he had in his hand. Now, we know tonight Moses had a rod in his hand. And you might say, well, what's so specific about Moses having a rod in his hand? Well, hopefully we'll see that by the time we get to the message, the end of the message tonight. I just want to preach on that thought simply tonight, on what is in your hand. What tonight has God put in your hand? Now let's back up to verse number 1 of chapter 4 and see if we can find out what the Lord is saying here tonight. In verse number 1, notice now Moses is in a situation of conflict. It really begins in the first part of chapter 3 when God reveals himself to him through the burning bush and tells him to take his shoes off, that he's on holy ground. And then God begins to explain to Moses that the nation of Israel is in bondage and they need a deliverer. Now, if you'll remember 40 years previous to this, Moses had a sense of calling in his life when he was still in Egypt. Matter of fact, Hebrews tells us that he chose not to be with Pharaoh's crowd, but he chose rather to suffer the affliction with God's people. So Moses rises up somewhere around the age of 40 years old, and he looks out one day and he sees an Egyptian smiting a Hebrew. And because of the raising that he had, those few months with his mother there in the home, you find out that Moses has a burden in his heart toward his people. He has a connection, so he goes out and he slays that Egyptian. I don't even know if Moses knew really all why he did that, but God had put something in him, a connection there between he and those Hebrews. So he knew they were his people. He goes out and he slays him and hides him under the sand. And then you find out, I believe it was on the next day, that he is trying to help another argumentative situation. And the one looks at Moses and said, hey, you going to kill me like you did that Egyptian the other day? Moses finds out that he's been caught. And somebody knows what he did. So the Bible said he flees Egypt. He flees the house of Pharaoh. He's somewhere around 40 years old when he does that. And he goes to the backside of the desert where he's at now. And he runs into a lady there and some people there that are being mistreated. The Bible tells us that he's there with Zipporah and his father's named Reuel here and also called Jethro in the scripture. Back in chapter 2, you find out that he's there and he runs off those shepherds that are harassing them and waters the flock. And one thing leads to another and he marries into the family. So at the beginning of chapter 3, Moses is now 40 years later, somewhere around 80 years old. He is keeping the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian. And he's going about his business. He's just being a good shepherd. He's working a day's work. He's just being faithful in the family that God's put him in. And he runs into God in this burning bush. And God calls him to go down to Egypt and deliver the nation of Israel. Now, beginning in verse 1 of chapter 4, we find a conflict now that is in the life of Moses. Moses does not want to go. Moses is no doubt content at the moment with being a shepherd. He's content with his life. He's living a pretty much private life on the backside of nowhere. Sounds pretty good to me. I don't know about you. I've said a lot of times I'd like to have about 50 acres somewhere in Montana or Idaho or somewhere where nobody can find me. I'd find a place. I'd probably build a fence around it, put my house right in the middle, and live till Jesus comes. Well, that sounds pretty good sometimes, don't it? Now, my wife's probably thinking, no way, I couldn't handle that. Some of you men know what I'm talking about. Sometimes we just want to be in the middle of nowhere. Sometimes we just like to get away from the hustle and bustle of life and just find a place somewhere where we could just hide out and enjoy the rest of our days. That's the nature of the flesh, is it not? Well, I think Moses was probably experiencing some of that. I believe he was well content with what he was doing. But you see, God had another plan for Moses' life. God was not finished with Moses. No doubt when Moses had left 40 years earlier from Egypt down there, he was a little frustrated. And when they didn't take him the way that he thought they should take him, as being a help to his brethren, he probably had a little bitterness in his life, no doubt. But here he is now at about 80 years old, and the Lord's come face to face with him and beginning to prod him, if you will, to get him in the ministry. And I think you'd agree with me tonight, we ought not have to be prodded to serve the Lord. But the fact of the matter is, most of us do. Most of us have a flesh, well, we all have a flesh nature. And most of us, our flesh nature really wants to do our own thing and go our own way. And the Lord has to come along and prod us to get out of our life the full potential of it. So this is where Moses is at. Now look in verse 1 at this conflict that's going on with him here. There's a call. I've already mentioned that to you. Moses answered and said, "But behold, they will not believe me nor hearken unto my voice, for they will say, the Lord hath not appeared unto thee." So God has called Moses, and you can read that in chapter 3, verse 10. The Lord's going to send him down to deliver the children of Israel from Pharaoh. God's put a specific call on Moses' life. This is more than a burden. There's a lot of things I'm burdened over tonight, but there's only one thing I'm called to do. I'm called to pastor. And I'm called to pastor at Little Ivy Baptist Church right here on 1053 Crossroads Parkway in Mars Hill, North Carolina. This is the place of my call. I know that tonight beyond a shadow of a doubt. I have no doubt about it. I have no question about it. I know that I am where God has called me to be. And there's a lot of places and things tonight we may have burdens for, and that's good. There's a difference between a burden and a call. I have a burden over a lot of things. I have a burden over people overseas, and I'm burdened about people in different parts of our country. I'm burdened about other churches that are struggling, but my call is right here where I'm at. So God now is calling Moses to a specific place, and that's what a call is, a specific place, a specific task, a specific thing to do. So you see his call. Notice his concern, though. Moses says, "They will not believe me nor hearken to my voice." Now Moses just has a natural fear. He fears that if he answers God's call, it's not going to be productive. He fears that if he does what God tells him to do, he's going to fail. And we all struggle with that. I struggle with that. If you've ever answered any kind of call of God in your life, any kind of direction that God has pulled you in, you've always got a tendency to worry about failure. I heard a preacher say one time, he said, "I never thought I was a bad daddy until I became one and struggled with it." He said, "I never thought I was a bad preacher or a failure as a preacher till I became one and struggled with it." So we always fail with that unknown, and we struggle with failure concerning the unknown, and we struggle with failure concerning things that God would have us to do. That's a natural response. We all do that. If you've ever taught a Sunday school class, if you've ever stood up by yourself and sung a song outside of the choir, if you've ever preached, if you've ever did anything in the open for God, then you know what it's like to have a fear of failure. We all have that. Some mask it more than others, but it's still there. So here's Moses. He's concerned about failure. He said, "Lord, they're not going to listen to me. Lord, I'm going to go all the way down there. They're not going to hear me. They're not going to pay attention to what I've got to say." That is a natural response of our flesh. We all deal with that. You may watch a preacher get up and preach, and he may make it look like it's as easy as can be, and everything's just perfect, but I'm telling you, everybody deals with a fear of failure. Everybody struggles every time. It doesn't matter how long you've been doing it. About every time I get up, I struggle with a fear of failure. I struggle with, Lord, am I going to say what you want me to say? Am I going to get across the point that you put on my heart? Am I going to have the right spirit when I deliver the message? There's always a fear of failure. And that's where Moses is at, and that conflict is going on in his heart. Now, can I say to you tonight, many people never get past the conflict. Many people get shortchanged in their Christian life. They shortchange themselves because they never get beyond that fear. Anything worth doing is going to have a certain amount of fear about it. How many of you, don't raise your hand tonight, how many of you was a fearful a little bit when you got ready to walk down the aisle and say, I do? Amen. That's a nervous time. I don't care how much you loved them. I don't care how much you knew they were the one. There's a little fear there. Amen. We was talking the other day, several times as we go down through Newport and we passed, and my wife always mentioned, look, honey, there's the place where we got married and all that. And she said the other day, she said, you know, I don't remember saying I do. I said, well, it's too late now. Amen. You're in this thing about 28 years. It's too late to back up now. I don't know what she meant by that. Y'all pray for me. Amen. No, but a lot of times we have a fear, don't we? We have a fear about things, especially when God is asking us to get out of our box, out of our comfort zone. And here's the thing. I want you to think about where Moses is at tonight. He's 80 years old. Now, when we read the Bible, a lot of times we don't relate to the Bible like we ought to. Moses is an 80-year-old man. Even though we know his lifespan is somewhere around that 120 range, it tells it, I believe, in the book of Deuteronomy. I may be wrong. It seems like I read it there. But Moses is a man that is well on in his life. How many people do you know are going to be comfortable changing gears in their life at 80 years old? It's a tough place for him. He's not a spring chicken, amen? He's not just out of high school looking for a career. Here he is. He's got his life set. I'd say Moses probably thought he was going to die there on the backside of the desert taking care of that flock. He probably had already resigned it in his heart. This is where I'm going to live and this is where I'm going to die. And God shows up in his life and begins to work on him, and now he's got a conflict going on inside of him. You find his call, you find his concern of fear, but then he mentions something about credibility in this conflict. Look what he said. He said, behold, they will not believe me, nor hearken unto my voice, for they will say, now how did he know what they'd say? But he said, they will say, the Lord hath not appeared unto thee. So Moses is thinking in his mind, if I do this, Lord, they're not going to take me serious. If I do this, I'm not going to have any real credibility, any real authority in doing this. Now, the scripture goes on to tell us, the Lord told him to say, hey, listen, tell him I, or the scripture told us that he said, tell him I am sent you. I am. He said, who do I say sent me? And say, I am. That's all the authority in the world, the great I am, the Lord. But Moses is fearful, and he's fearful about failure, and he's fearful about them not listening to him, that his words, his message himself would be presented as something that's not credible or someone that's not credible. You know what? We all fear that sometimes. Nobody likes rejection. Nobody likes to be laughed at. Nobody likes to be looked at and somebody shake a head and say, I don't believe a word you're saying. That's what Moses had going on in his life. That's a conflict. You know, Moses' flesh probably said, listen, let's just play it safe and stay right here in this desert atmosphere until you go home to be with the Lord. Nobody back here to make fun of you. Nobody back here to ridicule you. No conflict back here. I don't know about you. I don't like conflict. That's my nature. I'm a person. I don't enjoy conflict. And I can imagine if Moses was that way, I believe he was a very meek man. He had a couple times where he got upset, but you try taking care of 1.5 million people and see if you don't get upset at that. I think he did pretty good considering what he went through, amen? But he's a man that doesn't want this conflict going on in his life. I understand that. Our flesh has a mentality of saying, hey, I'm saved. I'm going to heaven when I die. I go to a good church. I'm faithful. And I'm just going to stay in my place, in my comfort zone, until Jesus takes me home. And sadly, that's what many, many people do the entirety of their life. Now, God doesn't call everybody to be a Moses. God doesn't call everybody to be a preacher. God doesn't call everybody to be a missionary. God doesn't call everybody to go here and there. But he does have a purpose for every believer's life. He does have a work. You can call it a call if you want to, but he has a work for every individual that's ever been saved. God never saved anybody just to let us do our own thing and flounder around and never make an impact in this life. So here's God. He's working in Moses' heart, and Moses has got a conflict going on. Now look at the second thing that takes place here. We're talking about the thought of what's in your hand tonight. This is where the message really comes to here in verse number 2. In verse 2 now, we find a consideration. Moses' conflict's going on, and God wants to help Moses. He wants to get him past the conflict. God's got a plan for him, and God's not going to be satisfied with Moses backing out of this plan. So in verse number 2, he shines the spotlight through a question on the heart of Moses with a consideration. Look at this. In verse number 2, he said, "The Lord said unto him, What is that in thine hand? And he said, A rod." Very simple. Moses has been leading the sheep according to chapter 3. He comes up to the burning bush. He meets with the Lord. He begins to talk to the Lord. And all the time he's standing there with that rod in his hand. He's got the shepherd's rod in his hand, a tool of his occupation. No telling how long he's had that rod, probably for 40 years now. He's carried that rod, and we don't know whether it's the one he started out with. Maybe he lost it, but I'd say not. I'd say he's kept that. That's a very important part of the shepherd's tools, if you will, the rod and the staff that are mentioned in the Scripture. So he has this rod, and it's precious to him. It's part of his daily life. When he goes to bed, he knows where it's at. When he gets up in the morning, he knows where it's at. This rod has become a part of who Moses is. It is an identifier of who Moses is. If you don't believe me, you just look at the pictures and you remember the movie that came out years ago when I was little with Charlton Heston about the Ten Commandments, and there's Moses with that rod. I mean, a bigger than life person standing there with that rod in his hand. So the rod is always significant of Moses, and there's others throughout the Scripture. Aaron has a rod, the Bible mentions here later on in this text, but the rod is who Moses is. And God looks at Moses and said, "Moses, listen, you don't understand. Here's Moses, Lord, I can't do this, I can't go, I'm fearful, I'm afraid, they're not going to listen to me. I get down there, they're going to say, you're who, and who sent you, we don't know you." And God said, "Moses, calm down." Moses, stop just a minute. He said, "Moses, what's in your hand?" And see, that's my thought here tonight. What God is saying to us, Moses has something in his hand that he doesn't realize that he has. And in his hand is everything he needs to fulfill the call that God has for his life. And now God begins to get his consideration on what's in his hand. Look in verse 2. I see this consideration of his past. The rod indicates what Moses has been doing for the past 40 years. You can read in Acts chapter 7, verse 30, as Stephen is preaching there and giving that great discourse that got him stoned, you can find out that he talks about Moses spending 40 years in the desert. And I thought about this today. Get this statement this evening, if you would. The Lord prepares us before he propels us. Amen. Amen. You want God to use you. I want God to use me. You want God to propel you into the Christian life and make your life a work and do something for him. But he's got to prepare us before he propels us. And that's what God had been doing in Moses' life for 40 years. He had been preparing him. See, Moses thought, man, I've just got it made. I mean, I've got a good wife, I've got a good family, I've got a good father-in-law, I've got a flock to take care of, I got all this land, nobody to fence me in. There's something about us men, we just like that, amen? Something about a man just getting out and looking around and looking at all that land, man, just makes him feel good, amen? And there's Moses thinking, I've got the perfect life. But God said, no, Moses, I want you to do something, and I want you to consider the rod that you have in your hand. Now this rod signifies his past, where God has brought him from to where he's at right now. Can I say to you tonight, I was thinking about this in my own life the other day. God will take us in a pathway to prepare us for service if we'll pay attention. Do you know your life since you got saved, God has been working on you? If you're serving the Lord tonight, you know that. If God's called you to something or placed a work in your hand, you know that. I can look back in my life. I testified just the other day there at the radio station. I can look back in my life and see some things 20, 25 years ago that I didn't have a clue God was doing in my life to bring me to the place where I am tonight. He was working things. He was orchestrating things in my life. He was letting me go certain pathways in my life. I thought it was my own going, but it was God doing it to get me prepared for the work that He had for my life. I believe tonight without a shadow of a doubt, I am in the work God wants me to do for my life. Amen. I've done some other things. I spent 5 years in the military. I worked a couple jobs. I had my own business. All those things were good. But as I look back on them, that was God preparing me for the main thing that He wanted in my life, which is to be a pastor. So here's Moses now, and God is showing him the rod in consideration of his past. Think about Joseph. Same thing happened in Joseph's life. Think about Joshua. Same thing happened in Joshua's life. All those things leading up early in their life were preparations to the place where God was really going to use them in their life. I wonder tonight, what has God prepared you for? What has God worked in your life for? You might say, well, preacher, I'm 40, I'm 50, I'm 60 years old. I'm too old to do anything for God now. Oh, I beg your pardon. Moses is 80 years old, amen. Abraham is, what, right at 100 when Isaac is born. Noah was 500 years old, amen, when things began to change in his life. I'm telling you, you're never too old to get to that point of preparation that God has for the work of your life. Now notice this, the past. I got to hurry. There's a lot I want to say. The consideration of his past, the consideration of his possession. What was his possession? It was the rod that was in his hand. He had the rod. The Lord had already equipped Moses with what he needed to get the job done. If you know your Bible, you know where I'm going tonight. That rod was used consistently all through the rest of Moses' life. It was used with the plagues, and I don't want to get ahead of myself, in delivering the children of Israel. It was used there on the mountain at Exodus 17. You remember when the enemy, the Amalekites, came in at Rephidim and snuck up on the children of Israel. And as long as Moses stood with the rod in the air, God's people won. And when it went down, then God's people lost. And that's why God raised up Aaron and Hur to help him hold his hands up. So the rod is going to be a significant tool in the life of Moses for the rest of his life to fulfill the calling that God has for him. Can I say to you tonight, God's put a rod in your hand, amen? Oh, I'm not talking about a physical staff as Moses has got here. But I believe tonight, as I look across this congregation, many of you that are serving the Lord, God's put a rod in your hand. And some of you here tonight, you may not be actively serving the Lord like God wants you to be, but He's got a rod in your hand. And that's why He's asking the question tonight, what's in thine hand? What's in your hand? What's God put in your hand? I was talking to my wife about the message a little bit this evening, and she said, okay, well, what's the rod in my hand? Tell me. You know how wives are. They want you to give them all these kind of answers, everything. I said, well, God gave us 9 children so that you know how to deal with children and work in a Christian school. I mean, you just look at it. Brother Ray, God's led you through life to teach Sunday school, no doubt. Been teaching for many years. I look at some of the other ones here tonight. Different things God has done in your life. I think of Brother Roger and how he's been in building all his life. God gave him the knowledge and the know-how and a daddy that knew how to build things. And God put that rod in his hand. And Brother Rick is a mechanic. And I could go on and on and on tonight. God has put certain things in your life to prepare you to do something for Him. And I want to remind you tonight, doing something for God's not always on a foreign field. It's not always behind a pulpit. It's not always with a microphone in your hand. It's not always at a podium, amen. Many, many times God's got something for you to do that is not maybe big in the world's eyes. But I'll promise you it's big in God's eyes, amen. Look at this as a consideration of his past. There's a consideration of his possession, what is in thy hand. There's a consideration of his potential. When you look at this, where is Moses at? He's leading a flock of sheep. Now, is there anything wrong with leading sheep? No, not a thing wrong. That, especially in Bible